Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I have to give a disclaimer. This has nothing to do with Dan and Jendine's marriage. Have you ever seen a train wreck? Train wrecks are terrible things. If you've ever seen them, you know that the cars collapse on each other. There's great carnage in a train wreck. And so it's no wonder that modern day symbolism has taken train wreck for anything that's terrible in our lives. If somebody says that person's an emotional train wreck, that's not a good thing. Train wrecks are terrible things. And we have a train wreck this morning in the Bible. Now, you might not have heard it, because it's an idyllic passage that we preach about an awful lot, about Jesus feeding over 5,000 people. And if you think of it in your mind's eye, you might see a rolling hill and all the people seated and having their fill of bread and fish. But it starts out with a train wreck. Now when Jesus heard this, what is this? Do you remember what this is? This was the death of the forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist. You remember that John the Baptist was a great preacher. He was Jesus' cousin, and he was a firebrand. But one day he decided that he had to speak up against a despot, his King Herod, and he told him that he ought not to be fooling around with his brother's wife. And for that, Herod threw him in a dungeon. But Herod still liked John the Baptist, so he'd visit with him and talk with him. But one day, Herod had a great party, and a lot of alcohol was consumed, and a little girl started dancing very seductively. It was his stepdaughter, and he was so enthralled. He said, "Listen to me, you're doing such a good job. I'm going to give you up to half my kingdom. Whatever you want, I'll give you." So the little girl was quite delighted with this, and she ran to Mom and said, "What should I ask for?" And she said, "John the Baptist's head. Evil can be so petty and mean." What did John the Baptist ever do to her but tell her the truth? Now, Herod was a powerful king. He could have said, "That's ridiculous. I'm not doing it." But he would have looked bad to his drunken buddies. So he decided that to save face, he would do what the little girl asked. And off went the head, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. Evil can be so senseless. We see it around us all the time. Train wrecks are senseless. And here this brilliant, wonderful man was killed because a despot king was drunk and didn't have enough sense to stop it. When Jesus heard this, what did he do? It says he withdrew. He took a boat and he went to a remote place. Now, it wasn't a pretty place like Door County. It was the wilderness, because the idea was he didn't want people to follow him. Have you ever had that when you had such a tragedy in life that all you want to do is pull up the blankets and say, "I want everybody to leave me alone. I need some time to process this." So he went to a place where he thought no one would go. But the crowds didn't care that he was in pain. The crowds didn't care about the train wreck. They had their own needs. You know what that's like when you're in despair and yet there's clamoring need from family, from friends. I think Dan and Jendine probably understand what I'm talking about in ministry. They saw many train wrecks in their lives. And whether he was up or down, he had to take care of them. So did Jesus. So the people came, and he could have said, you know what, folks, I'm not in the mood. I have my own needs. But instead, the Bible said he was so overwhelmed with compassion that he taught them, he healed them, and then it became late. And he decided to feed them. And he had a paltry little bit in his hands. He had a few loaves and fish. And you remember the story how it fed a multitude in a terrible, desolate place. And that's what God does for us. When we are in our desolate places, God finds us there and feeds us. And sometimes it doesn't look like much, but oh, it's a wonderful thing. Do you know that in all four Gospels, this particular miracle is recorded in every single one of those Gospels? And we think it's because it parallels the Lord's Supper. Jesus took a little bit of bread. We have a thimbleful of, well, not wine anymore, it's grape juice. But that little bit tells a huge story of salvation, tells a marvelous story of death into life again, tells us that whatever happens to us, God is with us. And every time Jesus said that you eat and drink that, he's there with us. The train wrecks of our lives are not the final story. And I am so glad that Jesus did not do this miracle in a place where he was in great shape and happy and willing to share. But I am sure that when he was breaking that bread, that the tears were flowing down his face in the grief for his friend, and yet he continued to give. And that's the story of our faith. In weakness, we are made strong. So the next time there's a train wreck in your life, remember the Jesus who had a train wreck in his life and continued to give, continued to love. And anywhere you are in that wilderness, God will find you. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that Jesus suffered like we suffer. I thank you that he gave even when he was empty. And I ask, O Lord, that the little things in our lives that we think are so insignificant, that you would endow them with grace and beauty as we give them away for you. I ask for anyone in this church this day who's experiencing a train wreck, that your grace, strength, and power would be all sufficient. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.